Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include further reaction to Fitch's downgrade of U.S. government debt, Ally Homes' Glenn Brunker on the homebuyer affordability issue and potential ways to alleviate it, and July non-farm payrolls. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Candor. Candor's patented automated underwriting decision engine, Cognitech, is a state-of-the-art, 100% machine platform that can handle infinite loan scenarios. The portability allows clients to plug in the technology wherever an underwrite happens during the loan lifecycle, from point of sale to servicing. Clients can instantly scale to match loan volumes, improve quality to mitigate repurchase risk and boost liquidity. Candor. Can do. You shouldn't miss a shot at offering clients more than a couple products. Freddie, Fannie, FHA, and VA are fine, but every client and referral source is precious. What happens if someone walks through the door and needs a loan for a renovation, remodel, or a condo tell, or an unwarrantable condo, or qualifies for a bond program? Or the list goes on and on and on. In the category of leads, have you looked into any local real estate investment clubs as a source of business? Are you going after leads from divorce attorneys or local hard money lenders? Changing subjects slightly, the downgrade of U.S. government debt to AA+ from AAA by Fitch on Tuesday won't affect the U.S. economy much and puts the Fitch rating at the same levels as S&P, which made the downgrade in 2011. A couple other reasons not to worry include debt ratings mattering much more for emerging economies. Most bond traders will keep buying U.S. debt at the same level, and the Fed can essentially set the interest rates on U.S. debt anyway. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome to the show Ally Homes' Glenn Brunker to talk about the homebuyer affordability issue and potential ways to alleviate it. Glenn Brunker is the president of Ally Home, responsible for leading the growth of Ally's mortgage business. He has oversight of both the direct originations and bulk acquisition businesses, as well as the responsibility for the servicing platform. He also leads the secondary marketing business line risk functions. Glenn has extensive executive experience in leading banking operations, secondary marketing, production channels, and all key risk functions. Before joining Ally in 2018, he held several leadership roles in financial services at Bank of Oklahoma Mortgage, Fifth Third Bank, National City Bank, and Oak Street Mortgage. I want to start by asking you, what should be behind homebuyer calculations as to when they should get off the sidelines and start the mortgage application process? I have friends that ask me this all the time because I'm like the mortgage guy. And what I say to them is it's hard to time a home purchase. You know, as soon as you can qualify and afford a house, get in better sooner than later.
Yeah, you know, Robbie, I think that's wise advice. You know, first, when you take a look at today's market, you know, first-time homebuyers make up 53% of the purchase market. I think it's a staggering percent. And although affordability is still at near four-year lows, you know, buyers are beginning to get comfortable with today's mortgage rates and engaging. You know, demand is strong. So customers are adopting the mindset to take advantage of rate improvements in years ahead with refinance. So direct answer to your question, for those that have both the ability and the stability, desire to purchase a home or upgrade, the time is now to buy. And in most markets, I do not believe the home prices will see material future declines because inventory and demand is remaining in balance. So pull the trigger, engage in the process, which, as you know, means preparedness, market and lender research, and pre-approval to obtain a competitive advantage in future negotiations. But today, if you're comfortable and you want to buy, it's a good time to buy.
Yeah, I'm actually a little frustrated at the psychology that's happened here, the psychological deterioration, because if you think about somebody willing to lend you money for 30 years, at 6%, it's not that bad. But we've had, you know, everybody hears these stories about their friends refinancing down to 3%, 3.5%, or even in some cases below 3%. And so they're thinking, yeah, oh, this isn't good news if I can only get a rate that's around 6 or maybe a little below 7, but yeah, historically that's actually not a bad rate. Look at the last time inflation was like it's been over the last year or two. And Vogler was head of the Fed in the 80s. And what were mortgage rates then? They were in the teens. So, I mean, to those that are hoping rates go down, I would say rates going down is likely going to require some type of economic downturn. Last time it took this global pandemic, though, I guess we are seeing some slowing signs in the U.S. economy. Manufacturing output starting to decline, the robust labor market softening a little bit. So aside from rates moving downward, because I don't think they're going to precipitously drop anytime soon, what's it going to take to get housing inventories back up? Is it as simple as more home building?
You know, I would say yes. Although rates, you know, moving downward will absolutely spur a strengthening of homes being listed, you know, at the same time, demand will equally accelerate. So therefore, without a doubt, we need to see new home building to go to accelerate for several years to come. You know, I do believe one of the primary challenges is going to be the new builds leaning to the entry-level home versus the larger priced homes. However, this will spur new listings and therefore spur availability. So yes, lower rates alone will not solve this challenge. We need a lot more homes to be built, and we need, and that's going to be a trend line that we're going to need to see for 5 to 10 more years to come.
Well, I think the simple segue there is, why is it not as simple or as easy as telling builders to just build more? What, dude, doesn't that seem like that would be the logical thing? Why aren't they building more? Why aren't they meeting demand?
Yeah, it does seem very logical. And yes, Robbie, in today's market, with the high cost of funds and historically lower demand due to the rate environment, builders have less risk appetite to build homes without a buyer. You know, the spec market is virtually dead. Secondly, there are other pressures like the elevated cost of dirt, as many communities have transitioned to limited land. Thus, teardowns are more common. Lastly, in many communities, skilled trade labor is absolutely difficult to come by. You know, in my neighborhood here in Charlotte, I'm seeing build times of a year to a year and a half because it's difficult to find skilled labor. The good news is the supply chain is beginning to ease and inflation is beginning to show signs of improvement. So, you know, for example, the cost of lumber is well off its high. So we're seeing some positive signs out there. But again, we're seeing some challenges in terms of just, again, the availability and the cost of dirt and specifically around skilled labor. But I think it's really predominantly driven by the builder just has limited risk appetite to engage in the building process today without a buyer in hand.
Very well put. So I actually want to go briefly back to rates here for a second. And I'll say from a originator's perspective, the third quarter is shaping up to be pretty disappointing. Mortgage rates are back up towards 7%. So what do you expect for the rest of the year? More misery or is there a case for optimism?
I unfortunately probably lean to a little bit more misery, Robbie. You know, mortgage rates, you know, without a doubt, are grounded pretty securely in that upper sixes, low seven range. With the Fed continuing to tighten and mortgage spreads remaining elevated, I do believe they will remain at these levels through Q1 2024. I think we're going to see more of the same in terms of today's rates for at least another couple quarters. So we'll start to see some relief on the mortgage rate front starting in Q2 2024. So as we approach the end of the year, rates remaining high, and then you start to factor in expected seasonal cyclical lows starting to kick in, I do expect the latter half of the year originations to decline over Q2 levels. We saw this decline start in June with existing home sales down 9% month on month. And I think that's going to likely continue through the end of the year. However, with rate improvements expected in 2024, I do expect industry originations to increase approximately 15% year on year. So we got some positive green shoots. Most likely in 2024, but I think for another 2 to possibly 3 quarters, it's going to be tough sledding.
So now that we're at the presumed end of the Fed's tightening cycle when it comes to raising rates, what's the Fed to do going forward? I mean, inflation is stubborn. There hasn't been a lot of talk recently of balance sheet runoff with its mortgage-backed securities portfolio or even one step further, active sales from the Fed's portfolio. What do you expect from the Fed moving forward?
You know, moving forward, I you know, with 25 basis points on the rise in increase, I still expect a very hawkish tone continuing to come out of the Fed in future months. To your point, the labor market is stubbornly strong. You know, the consumer, you know, they're showing some signs of weakening. They're, you know, you're starting to hear about trading down in today's consumer purchase market. But at the end of the day, they're still resilient. Inflation is showing some signs of decline, but again, a long way to go. So the Fed's going to be stubborn. They're going to be hawkish. They have a charter to get inflation down to 2%. So I do expect a hawkish tone continuing, and I still lean to likely an additional 25 basis points and possibly even additional 50, depending on the strength of that labor market and consumer. If we see over the next 2-3+ months, the consumer still is strong and labor is still showing very slow signs of degrading, then I think you're going to see most likely another 25 to 50. But again, positioning that mortgage rate still for the high sixes, low sevens for the next 2-3 quarters.
So one bonus question for you here, and as I introduced you at the start of this interview, as president of Ally Home, you're responsible for leading the growth of Ally's mortgage business. What are your priorities right now? I mean, growth might be hard in this environment, but how do you feel like you're winning business as best you can?
Oh, absolutely, through our best-in-class digital CX. So today we at Ally Home, which is the mortgage division of Ally Bank, you know, we are nationally recognized for a best-in-class digital origination experience. So our primary focus and objective today is to focus on the long term, focus on making our customers' experience the best in the industry. And we believe through that, this is a cyclical business. We'll continue to strengthen and prosper by always being the best in terms of customer experience.
Very well put. I'm actually really optimistic about the way that the mortgage industry is heading through both the digitization of the process, but more importantly, the overall customer experience. I think that historically, people have looked at getting a mortgage like they look at going to the dentist, but I think it's all set to change. And it's great to hear that you're at the forefront of that. Glenn, really appreciate you making the time as always. It's a pleasure.
You know, Robbie, thank you as well. Pleasure being here.
Today, we saw the first Friday of the month job situation figures. But it seems that the unemployment rate is not a leading economic indicator. Looking back at changes in U.S. unemployment rate data since 1953, a period including 10 recessions, on average, the unemployment rate has not noticeably changed during the 12 months leading up to a recession. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, PhD, points out that, but once the recession begins, the unemployment rate slowly rises and peaks 12 months later at a level 3 percentage points higher than when the recession began. End quote. Yesterday began with the Bank of England raising UK rates to a 15-year high, though investors domestically continued to react to the US credit downgrade by Fitch Ratings, which led to another bear steepener in the bond markets. Risk-off themes were present, and Wednesday's rout in US Treasuries spilled over into yesterday's session. The 10-year yield rose to a 9-month high as market participants took a closer look at rising debt service levels. On the data front, weekly jobless claims increased by 6,000 to 227,000, while the ISM non-manufacturing index and the manufacturing PMI report showed a deceleration in growth, consistent with reports from other major economies. Services sector activity continued to expand in July, but at a slower pace than the prior month. Even so, the report said that the majority of respondents remained cautiously optimistic about business conditions and the economy. Finally, productivity increased 3.7% in the second quarter, well above 1.7% expectations, with output up 2.4% and hours worked down 1.3%. Unit labor costs, meanwhile, were up 1.6%, lower than expected, and which reflected a 5.5% increase in hourly compensation and a 3.7% increase in productivity. The pickup in productivity and the deceleration in unit labor costs is a good combination for the soft landing view. After one of the better than expected releases this week was the ADP report, which reported 324,000 in private jobs creation versus 189,000 expected. Risks for an upside surprise in non-farm payrolls were raised. As for that BLS report, non-farm payrolls increased 187,000 versus 200,000 expectations, and back months were revised down 49,000 jobs. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%, and average earnings are still solid versus 0.3% month over month and 4.2% year-over-year expectations. After any knee-jerk reaction, the Treasury market will begin setting up for next week's $103 billion quarterly refunding, beginning Tuesday with $42 billion of 3-year notes, followed on Wednesday and Thursday by $38 billion of 10-year notes and $23 billion of 30-year bonds. Both 3 years and 30 years were increased by $2 billion and 10 years by $3 billion versus the prior quarterly refunding. We begin the day with agency MBS prices unchanged from Thursday. The 10-year yielding 4.19 after closing yesterday at 4.19%, and the 2-year up to 4.89%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. 3 golfing partners died in a car wreck and went to heaven. Upon arrival, they discovered the most beautiful golf course they'd ever seen. St. Peter tells them that they are all welcome to play the course, but he cautions them that there's only one rule. Don't hit the ducks during your first 3 months here. The men all have blank expressions, and finally one of them asks, "The ducks?" "Yes," St. Peter replies, "there are thousands of ducks walking around the course, and if one gets hit, he quacks, and then the one next to him quacks, and soon they're all quacking to beat the band. It really breaks the tranquility, and if you hit one of the ducks, you'll be punished. Otherwise, everything's yours to enjoy." Upon entering the course, the men noted that there were indeed a large number of ducks everywhere. Within 15 minutes, one of the guys hit a duck. The duck quacks, and the one next to it quacked, and soon here was a deafening roar of duck quacks. St. Peter walked up with an extremely homely woman in tow and asked, "Who hit the duck?" The guy who had done it admitted, "I did." St. Peter immediately pulls out a pair of handcuffs and cuffed the man's right hand to the woman's left hand. "I told you not to hit the ducks," he said. "Now you'll be handcuffed together for eternity." The two other men were very cautious not to hit any ducks, but a couple of weeks later, one of them accidentally did. The quacks were as deafening as before, and within minutes, St. Peter walked up with an even uglier woman. He cuffed the man's right hand to the homely woman's left hand. "I told you not to hit the ducks," he said. "Now you'll be handcuffed together for eternity." The third man was extremely careful. Some days he wouldn't even play for fear of even nudging a duck. After 3 months, he still had to hand a duck. St. Peter walked up to the man at the end of 3 months and had with him a knockout gorgeous woman, the most beautiful woman the man had ever seen. St. Peter smiled at the man and then, without a word, handcuffed him to the beautiful woman and walked off. The man, knowing that he would be handcuffed to this woman for eternity, let out a contented sigh and said aloud, "I wonder what I did to deserve this." The woman responds, "I don't know about you, but I hit a duck." Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Cander. Cander's patented automated underwriting decision engine, Cognitech, is a state-of-the-art 100% machine platform that can handle infinite loan scenarios.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.